evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. At this time, I'd like to ask everyone to please stand while we have pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and please be seated. All right, we'll have the approval of this evening's agenda. Are there any additions or corrections at this time, Madam Secretary?
The staff would note the agenda was revised August 2nd, 2016 to include approval of minutes and finding of facts for June 20th, 2016, and old business case numbers 11,800 and 11,811. Thank you.
Are there any other? If not, our chair will entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the agenda as read.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Mills that we approve this evening's agenda. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Next, we'll have the approval of the minutes and the finding of the facts of our June the 20th, 2016 meeting.
Motion approved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve the minutes and the finding of the facts for June the 20th, 2016 meeting. Again, all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And all opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening, and to proceed in an orderly fashion and ensure full participation by those present with an interest, hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result in expulsion from the room. Sussex County in its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the board in its deliberations. Each application will be announced. The applicant will be asked to come forward and be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. Copies of those standards can be found on the table in the rear of the room for your convenience. The board may ask questions of the applicant and any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comments. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. If you have questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board may then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case will be voted upon or tabled for consideration at a future meeting. If you are here for a case listed on our old business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence will be taken unless the record was held open at the previous hearing. All board matters are discussed on and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. In addition, you may view all of these proceedings live on the internet. If the board renders a decision this evening, please be advised that the decision will not be final until the written decision is approved by the board and filed with the board secretary. Any action taken prior to the filing of the written decision and expiration of any applicable appeal period is taken at the property owner's risk. For courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or pager, we would request that you turn it off for the duration of the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First case, please.
The first application is 11,750 Ron and Diane Ambremski seek a variance from the rear yard setback sections 115-25C and 115-183C of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Herring View Drive, approximately 0.6 miles east of Angola Beach Road. The 911 address is 33613 Herringview Drive, Lewis. The zoning district is AR1. The tax map is District 234, Map 18, Parcel 746. Specifically, they're requesting a 4-foot variance from the rear. We do have three letters in support. One is from David Vertick. I apologize if I missed that one. It just says this: they are in support of the request, and as a member of the community, they feel that the variance is necessary for the three-season room and the deck. And we also have one from Marie Ciramella, who also states that they are in support of the application. And then finally, we have Steve Lubitzansky, that he is in support of the 5-foot variance and that he had a similar situation and applied for a variance to build a 4-season room to his house. And the board granted a variance in July 8th of 2014. And that the reason he requested a variance is that Ryan Holmes offered a morning room option, but not during the sales process. Was he advised that his house was too large to accommodate the morning room on the lot. At the time, he did not know that there was the ability to request a variance, and the builder did not advise him of that. After he moved into the house, his neighbor, Carl Kramer, at 23676 Herring Reach, obtained a variance for a screen porch, and he advised me to request the variance, which he did, and then the board approved the variance, which allowed him to build a 4-season room, which he enjoys and provides screens from the development. Staff would note that this application was originally heard April 4th of this year. The board had additional questions and asked for subpoenas to be sent out to the builder, which the staff did do, and which is why this application is here on tonight's agenda. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just as a matter of course, I know this is a little unusual because we've already had a public hearing on this one. This has been reopened, re-advertised. Probably would be proper for us to, as we've done with all hearings, to give the applicant opposition an opportunity and anyone in support an opportunity to speak. I do know that I sent letters to the builder, which I believe was Ryan Holmes in this matter. I do not know if somebody is here from them to speak about it, but I do recall the board had some concerns and questions, particularly about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Is someone here then?
You can come in and be sworn in.
Oh, I'm here?
Yep. Yes, sir. Okay. If you would, please.
I hear the Bible is. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Ron Abramski, 33613 Herring View Drive, Lewis, Delaware.
Right here. Can you state your
name? I'm Diana Bremsky. I live at 33613 Herringview Drive in Lewis.
Okay. And do you both swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
It is.
Thank you.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. As was mentioned, we started this journey in early April, and going through a lot of meetings, and if there was information that was lacking or not submitted initially, I apologize for that. This is not something we've ever done before, but hopefully I can address any issues and concerns and questions that I've heard the board discuss in previous meetings. So I would like to just briefly go through some of the issues of concern with you, and hopefully be able to answer all your questions so that you'll be rightfully informed. One of the questions was uniqueness of the property, and the uniqueness is that it is a very shallow lot. The house that it's on there, didn't know at the time, but it's very large for that lot. And so there is no if we were to add the screened-in porch on, and I apologize, I'm seeing nervous, but I am because we've gone through an awful lot over the last 5 months trying to get to this point. But anyway, if we were to add a screened-in porch, we have to go through into the setback as requested. the lot otherwise cannot be developed. Ryan Holmes developed the lot and the dwelling and set it pretty much on the back set line. Not sure why our house actually sits further back than our other two neighbors, but that's the way it is. So it does also create a problem with having us to add a screened-in porch on to request for that that 5-foot variance. This issue was not created by us, the homeowner, because when the time we were constructing it, we had a financial cap or, you know, a budget that we had to stay within. And we were deciding whether we should add the screened-in porch on at the time the house was being built. But we basically, that was going to put us way over our budget. And I'm looking to retire in another month. I mean, another year. I wish it was another month. Mm-hmm. Another year. And so I didn't want to have a mortgage that'd be higher than I'd be able to afford. So that's why we didn't add it on at the time that the house was being built. We felt that that's something I could save some money for and then add it on afterwards. And our salesperson said, yeah, we could add the screened-in porch on afterwards. Will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. I've included many photos of the other homes, and you probably notice it's only a few, but multiple backyards. I would say good 40-50% of the homes have screened-in porches that come out the back of the house. Not all those have had variances because the lots were bigger. When we purchased our lot, we were the last of the last three lots in the development. And maybe that's why that lot sat, because it, unbeknownst to us, maybe because it was smaller, I don't know. But we purchased it with the idea, after the salesperson said, well, you can always add a screened-in porch on afterwards. And you look around, including my neighbor right next door has a screened-in porch, and it comes out the back of his house. To us, it just seemed, you know, a natural process. So the proposed structure is proportionate to the other similar structures in the community, as I've attached pictures and hope to give you a little bit better eyesight of that. There's no impact on the public, as the property is behind the community is wooded. We back up to a wooded area. The proposed structure would only be partially visible from the adjacent house on either side. I have both neighbors on either side of me, letters of support, and I have one of the neighbors here with me this evening. It's not detrimental to public welfare, as it does not impact other homes in the community and any public utilities, and does not impede any flow of traffic in the community. Additionally, it does not interfere with any common areas within the community. I think also, and again, I don't know, you know, again, all the concerns, I've listened very carefully through all the meetings, is that this is an applicant for technically what they call a three-season room. In essence, when you look at it, it's a screened-in porch. The reason, as I understand, this contractor has explained, it's three-season, is when you add the type of screens that have a flexible type of window, it changes the code, and therefore, it changes the requirements. So I'm not sure if it's, you know, whether you're looking at a three or four season room versus a screened-in porch, but that's the appearance it really does give of a screened-in porch, which is throughout the community. The neighborhood's 7 years old, and there's only been four variances that have been requested in the last 5 years. All four of those have been approved. As I said, we were one of the last houses to be built in there, so that was about a year and a half ago when we took possession. I think it's reasonable to suggest that you would not have a large number of other variances in the neighborhood if most of these people over the last 5 years have been there and you've only had four. Ms. Cornwell has confirmed with me that the other four variances approved in Bay Point over the last 5 years, and I just wanted to submit that. Minimum variance, the variance will afford relief and is the least modification possible. We feel a 5-foot variance is the least amount required to accommodate our needed space. To construct a screened-in porch in the back, we have a fireplace that the chimney is on the backside where the screened-in porch is going to be built. So, and that impedes about 2 feet. So if we weren't able to ask for additional recess into the rear setback, that would only give us about a 7 foot wide screened-in porch, which would not be very functional. I know there was a question about hardship, and I mean, I'm sure this boils down to, you know, the position where you are as a homeowner versus someone else, but in essence, we didn't add the screened-in porch on because of the mortgage cap that we wanted to put on there. And I think by not allowing us to put the screened-in porch on, that we're deprived of what many of the other homeowners have been able to enjoy in the neighborhood, and at least four others seek a variance for. And then I think ultimately down the road, if we can't add a screened-in porch on, then that would probably be detrimental to resale. Not that I plan on moving any place. As I said, I hope to retire in a year and live a long time here, but this is this would also cause, I think, some hardship on the fact that many other homes have a desired screen porch, and my home would not be able to. Neighborhood requirements, I have applied, and I do have an extra packet here to hand out if I can do that. I received the HOA approval recently, and I have five other letters of support from other neighbors in the neighborhood too.
Okay, you go.
Difficulty created by others, again, I think it goes back to communication at the time of the sale of the home, and I don't think we had adequate information to advise us that we were in this situation. But with that being, one of the other letters that I did support submit earlier from a Mr. Steve Lupinowski is that as I was doing some more research to prepare for this meeting, I looked into the other variances that have been requested, and his particular situation was that the builder did tell him he could not add that room on the back because the house was too large for the lot. They went ahead and built the house, and then his neighbor had built a screened-in porch on, and he asked him how he was able to do that, and he said, well, I got a variance. He wasn't familiar with the process. So then he applied for a four-season room, which was basically another photo I've included here, which is all enclosed with fully sized windows and everything. And he had submitted for that, and the variance was granted. This was about 2 years ago. So we have a number of circumstances, and I know they all vary, but I guess in closing, well, I don't know if I'm going to be closing because I understand that the builder wants to talk, and I would like to be able to say something afterwards too. So I just wanted to make sure I covered all the points of concern that were necessary so we're in best compliance with the application.
All right. We'll see. Excuse me. I'll see if we've got some questions from members of the board, and I'm going to start with you, Mr. Mills.
No questions right now.
Mr. Hudson?
At this time.
Mr. Ritter?
When did you find out that you would be in violation if you built that? When did you find that out?
Well, when I started to get estimates to build a screen porch, that's when my contractor told me that if we were to build it out like we wanted to and like we were looking at our neighbors, that we would be in violation. And we had
so you knew when they got in other words, when your builder got the I'm presumed that he got the permit, correct? Your builder got the permit?
I'm not sure I'm following. The,
I permit to build the porch?
When I called a home improvement contractor to give me an estimate to do the porch.
Right. He's going to go get a permit, and then he told you that you would be in violation if you built this porch.
Correct. And I needed to.
The builder told you that, right?
No. The contractor, the homeowner, the home improvement contractor.
The home improvement contractor. That's not the salesman. I'm getting confused to who's the builder
and who's
the salesman.
Yeah, I am too. I'm sorry.
Perhaps this would help, Mr. Rigger. You bought the home from Ryan's Homes, right?
Yes.
Ryan's Homes was not the one who you contracted to do this three-season room.
Correct. I then...
The contractor to build the three-season room.
It was a good 8-10 months later. Then I went to an independent contractor. Delcoast is the contractor that spoke the first time for us. That's when they advised us in that process that we would have to, that we could not build out unless we got a variance.
So you knew about it before you came in here? Right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Workman?
No questions,
excuse me, and I haven't yet this time.
Sure. I have no questions, thank you.
Okay. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application?
Yes,
okay, we have one, two. Do you wish to speak? If so, you need to come forward and be sworn in. Or you just are in support?
Swear support.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Okay, chair hearing none. Where is...
Perhaps call for a representative.
Representative for the builder. Do we have someone here, please? You can sit right down up front.
Okay, thank you.
And that way we offer you a chance for... Thank you, sir. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Tim Willard, Fuqua, Urey, and Willard, with offices here in Georgetown. If you enter my appearance on behalf of Ryan Holmes.
Is he going to speak?
Yeah, this is Mike Schaefer. He can speak if...
If we need to get him sworn in.
Okay, and then if I could just say a few words.
Sure. Just if he would first. Thank you.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Mike Schaefer, 37519 Golden Eagle Drive, Lewis, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
If I could, I'd just like to say a few words. This is somewhat unusual.
Yes, please.
And then Mr. Schaefer's here. Mike Schaefer is division manager and vice president of Ryan Homes. He's in charge of all sales operations and operations here in this region. And we're not here necessarily to weigh in on the Abrinsky's application, although I might add it looked like they did rather a thorough presentation. I think from the get-go, I just want to say that once Mr. Schaefer learned about this and got the subpoena, he reviewed the whole file, talked to the various people that were involved, and that's what some of the information we have for you here today. And the bottom line is really nothing unusual happened. I personally went back and listened to the hearings, and at the very first hearing, I think a Pamela McDonald spoke, and it was somewhat alarming, if you would. She spoke of Ryan's Homes misrepresentations, etc., which obviously got the board's ire, I think. Mm-hmm. And it seems in hearing some of the presentation tonight that maybe they're backing off of that somewhat, it seems to me. In fact, Mr. Lewinsky, I think his name was, who got the previous variance on one of the porches, said that, in fact, they told him, you're going to have to get a variance. And I think another thing that Pamela McDonald said from the building contractor that I couldn't quite hear at all, she spoke of 15% or sort of large number of variances. Mr. Abrinsky's research is right on, as far as I can tell. In this neighborhood, Ryan Homes built about 160 homes. It's almost completely built out. And there have only been four variances, two of which they spoke were the porches that they spoke of. And there was one, just an engineering issue. And if I might add, you all are somewhat familiar with Ryan Homes. They've been building homes in Sussex County for 15 years with no major or even minor really significant problems, I think, with the board. Most recently, they're building about 300 homes a year. So in the course of a decade, they've built thousands of homes. And I just want to let the board know, and Mr. Schaefer will speak to that as well, they take this pretty seriously, that they're getting a subpoena for you for some kind of misrepresentations. It was couched more tonight as a communication issue. So if I could, I just have some exhibits, and Janelle might help me.
The clicker.
There's a clicker. Yeah, and these are just things that were in the file, and the Abrinskys may be familiar with them. This is what, once a sales rep meets with a client, first, one of the things they get is this survey site plan of their home. And in this case, the middle 133 is their home. And you could see it's the Winterthorne. And not unlike the one where there was a variance approved for a porch in the back, it is a larger footprint, but it fits within the footprint. And you can see the Abrinsky's initial, the bottom page there. What's somewhat significant about this, I don't know if I can walk over there, and Mr. Abrinsky spoke to this as well. There was some discussion at the time about putting a screen porch in, and instead they chose to enlarge the morning room, which shrunk the area here that perhaps a screen porch could go into within the footprint. But that was a discussion that the sales rep had, and Mr. Brinsky spoke to that. If you see that bottom quarter that's undeveloped, it would only give them a screen porch of 8 to 13 now, but if they hadn't enlarged the morning room, it would have been more like 13 by 13 or something like that. The numbers aren't exact. So that was a discussion they had. Janelle, how do I click forward here?
Just go to the side.
Side.
There you go.
That's just a change order that showed that they did go through the morning room addition. I think the discussion was, as Mr. Brinsky says, it was more cost effective rather than did the screen porch at that time, because they're similar square footage and price. At settlement, and our firm did not do the settlement in this case, but at settlement, the buyers are given us an as-built survey, and this is what was pulled from the settlement, which also shows the BRL. And I'll race through these. I mean, these are the disclosures that every seller gets. You know, in this one in particular, item 18, it speaks to that there's no violations for variance, setbacks, or anything like that. I put that in there to show that there is some reference to setbacks and that there are setbacks and there's no violation of it. This was the approved variance that Mr. Brinsky spoke of. And similar to theirs, they did put a larger footprint house in there, but there was no allegation in these statement of facts. And on the contrary today, based on that letter, that in any way Ryan Holmes misrepresented. So that's why I put that in there. Finally, there's always the sales contract that obviously it's maybe written to benefit the sellers, but it says this is a complete agreement. There's nothing else included in here, and it includes all the documents involving the site plan. So that's what happened in this sales. Nothing really unusual happened. Like Mr. Brinsky said, maybe there was a miscommunication that they did. They thought they could go out back. There are a lot of porches in there, but they didn't need variances. Maybe that misled them. Our concern was this other contractor coming in here, throwing Ryan under the bus, which I don't think was really fair. So Mike Schaefer's here to answer any of your questions.
Okay. We'll start.
But before you begin, Mr. Chairman, you've heard my representation to the council. Were they true and correct to the best of your knowledge?
Yes. Yes, they were.
Okay, Mr. Mills, we'll start with you, being I did earlier.
Well, I don't know that it was this particular case caused us to subpoena, but we do on a regular basis here that, you know, sales reps will tell people, oh, you can do that later. Whether you can or can't, that's something that I guess that your salespeople need to be aware of, the fact that, you know, we do have setback requirements. And,
sure, absolutely.
And those kinds of things. I don't know if it's so much a question as, that we would certainly advise and appreciate if, you know, you would consult those individuals to make sure that they understand that. Because the biggest problem for us is that there are five standards for granting a variance. And once the house is built and the applicant is now before us and asking for something in addition, in our opinion, it's created by the applicant unless they can convince us otherwise. And therefore, that's one of the five standards that is very difficult to meet, and sometimes we don't approve because of it. That's all.
Mr. Hudson.
And one thing I might add is that also, you know, in talking to your potential clients, to advise them that just because the homeowners association may approve of something, that doesn't necessarily meet the same standards that the county has as far as building restrictions. Thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Rickards.
The person that, what was her name now? Let's see, Pam McDonald made the statement. Did she make out the application for the variance, or did you?
We weren't involved. Ryan Holmes wasn't involved at all in the application.
Ryan House wasn't. Okay, so she made the application out for a variance. Is that correct? And when she made out, you know, it's been going over and over again, you understand that you have to meet five standards, correct? Those five standards makes, in other words, sets off something in our minds, okay, they can meet these five standards, we're going to take them under consideration, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it came down to number three, and the statement, and I'm sure you want to address this. The homeowner opted out of having Ryan Homes construct a porch. Is that true?
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, and what concerned us was that they were told they could construct a future three-season room with no issues. No issues.
Well, that statement wasn't made in my due diligence understanding the conversation.
Yeah. I just want you to know what...
I understand that.
Why we subpoenaed you.
Sure.
And we appreciate you coming in to straighten it out, okay? Believe me, we do.
Understand.
The builder did not inform the homeowner the ratifications of the rear building restriction lines. And tonight I'm hearing that the builder, that's the reason I wanted the clarification, who's the builder, who's the, okay, of... it's the statements made here also that she wasn't, they were not advised of the encroachment that they're going to incur if they build that porch. Now, is that all true?
That's not true. It's okay. Reviewed in four
I just want to hear your, you know, that's the reason you're here, because I want to hear what
I understand you that. I mean, and one of the original, the resite that was shown there, that's done at the time of pre-construction.
Okay.
So before we even start construction on the home, our construction managers review the options on the home to ensure that
everything is within the building restriction lines.
Correct.
What the county needs, et cetera, right?
Correct. And one of the statements earlier I would like to address was that the house sits back further than the others. If you look at that, and it's hard to see from where it is, there is a front covered porch, a covered alcove over the front entry of the home that has a roof on it, and as a requirement, that becomes our front lead point for our setback. So the house sits at 26 foot to that front covered porch area. That's where the house sits. We didn't set the house any further back.
Okay.
It sits within the requirement. It's just because of the extensions and the options on that house, that's why it sits where it sits on the lot.
Okay, and the other question that I'd like you to clear up, the reason why we had you here tonight,
sure,
is that you're well aware, I'm sure, with building homes in Sussex County, that when they come for a variance, that it costs the applicant money if they have to get. So that's $400 that they have to, on top of everything else, okay, that's explained to them. I imagine you would explain that to them. Is that right? Your salesman would say, well, if you want this porch put on there, you know you're within the setbacks now, but that's going to, you're going to need a variance. And I heard the gentleman say that he knew he needed a variance, and that's $400. So does your staff and tell them this once you opt to not to build within that envelope that you may have to go for a variance and you may not get it?
If I may, Mr. Rickard, to clarify your question, Ryan Homes doesn't build outside of just as a general rule. They don't come to ask for variances. They build their homes within the setbacks.
Correct, but the statement was made, you had said something that you wouldn't have any issue, not you, but Ryan Homes had said you wouldn't have an issue if you wanted to build it later. I mean, that's what was said here.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, so even within this case and reviewing with my sales rep in this conversation, and as Mr. Dombrowski earlier said, is correct. When they went back and forth, we offered a screen porch. There's conversations that went back and forth between the sales rep and the customer as to whether the screen porch was the correct option for them or a morning room extension was a better option for them. And as he stated, which I've talked to both the Dombrowskis as well as my sales rep, they both agree that from a cost-effective standpoint, they made the decision at that point to put the morning room extension on in lieu of the screen porch.
Right.
So it was provided to them at the beginning. There was an opportunity to do it. The house that's next door to it, that screen porch that's on that home, we built that during construction. We built probably 50% of the screen porches in our communities. There are times, though, from a cost basis, that a customer makes a decision not to do it with us because they believe they can do it at a lower price after construction.
in this case, on this one, was it was just an affordability issue.
Yeah.
We review that piece of paperwork right there is reviewed at the time of the pre-construction meeting, once again, to go over that. Now, if there's a misunderstanding to how much of a screen porch I can put on, I wasn't part of that conversation, and unfortunately, yeah. It's an interpretation. So for me, in just knowing that, I don't disagree, but we do cover it. We do talk about it. Hey, it's a better business for me to build it during construction than it is for someone to do it after. But there are times it's the choice of the client.
Excellent. That's what I wanted to hear you say, that this was no part, right, of your sales pitch to that person.
No, why? Yeah, exactly.
Why would we not do it? In my own mind, it would say, you know, the same thing. But we did have a statement of that, and we had to clarify this. You agree? And I'm glad you're here so we can clarify it. And this is going to be part of the record, so
I understand.
It's going to be clarified. And the from what I understand, and if the owner did know going into the variance that he knew that he was going to need a variance, right? Once he asked the builder to put this on.
The contractor.
Contractor.
Yeah, not us. Yeah, when he had a conversation with the contractor after to do
right.
it,
right.
He was made aware that he would need to build the size that would work on that.
Well, thank you for clearing that statement up, because that that was very, you could see our concern when it said you
understood.
You said no
understood
issues.
Understood when we saw that. Understood.
Yeah. Okay. As thank you very much for coming in. I
thank you.
No other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Worden.
Yeah, well, when they enlarged that room, that's when they took the sunroom away from them.
The morning room.
When they did the morning room?
Yes. If they didn't do the morning room, they could put the screen room on.
So there's a couple different configurations that you can do on the back of that house. And
okay.
So the morning room was originally where the door would have been on the back of the home. So yes, the screen porch would have gone in that space.
And met the setbacks and everything else.
It would have met the setbacks.
Okay.
The other piece, if you do the morning room, there's an extension that was done in the great room,
mm-hmm.
which brought that part back 4 foot. So it would have given us an additional 4 feet of space on that space. But again, it was done based on the livability for them on the inside of the home.
Inside of the home. And you said the house was bigger, made bigger.
The house was made bigger, yes.
Made bigger. So when they made that bigger, they had to get a variance to have that porch on then, automatically. If they wanted to do the porch, I mean.
Based on the configuration that they've built now to build to a size that they're looking for, that's why they're requesting it, yeah.
Yes.
For a three-season room.
For a three-season
room, yes. So you never did tell them about needed a variance or anything, because you just went, right, they added that on and made the house bigger. That's all they asked for.
Correct, and I can tell you that if they would have taken the screen porch from us during construction, we would have had an 8 foot deep by a 19 foot wide screen porch. That's what we can build,
and no variance would have been required.
No variance would have been needed, because we're not in the business of doing that.
No. So, but when they made that decision, what they did, they took the screen porch away from them.
From themselves.
Really. I mean,
right.
They caused their own issue, really.
Pretty much.
I mean, they made a decision, but understanding, having talked with the Abramskys since then, understanding where it was in space, I think can be difficult.
I think they admitted that they knew, and that's the reason I asked that question, they knew going in that they were going to need a variance.
Based on the conversation with the contractor.
But with them, they didn't, because they built their house how they wanted.
With us, they did not, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Any further? They cause a difficulty, really.
You're creative on that.
You're creative
by that. Mr. Jean, do you have any questions?
Just a couple. So I want to make sure I'm clear. The morning room was in lieu. They chose the morning room in lieu of a porch.
That's reasonable.
Correct.
Correct.
That was your testimony.
Correct.
And the screen porch, they didn't come to you at some point during the discussion of construction and say, at some point, we'd like to put a screen porch on this later. Is that possible?
Well, the conversations were during the sales process when they made the decision between the morning room and the screen porch, and they chose to do the morning room at that time. All correspondence I have, everything I've seen, was during that time.
So they didn't come and say, we want to build it this way, but at some point in the future, we'd like to build a screen porch as well.
They could have had a conversation. I have no record of that.
Okay. And one of the things that was noted at the prior hearing was that there's a potential need for similar variances with about 10 to 15% of the neighborhood was the testimony that we had at that hearing. Are you aware of if there's other issues like that in the community?
I'm aware of none.
Okay.
And even from a statement earlier, they were one of the last homes in the community at 160. We would have already exceeded that percentage a while back.
And the lot size of this one, is it unusual compared to others in the neighborhood?
You can look at the ones right next to it. Your square footage is on those diagrams for each one.
Yeah, they're the same.
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you about that 15%. That blew me right out of the box. If there's 15%.
Well, it should, Mr. Rickards, because it really wasn't true.
Yeah.
There have been plenty of screen porches in the area, and the Abrinskis have testified as to some of them. Only three of them had needed variances. You granted two of them, or you've granted three already, the screen mm-hmm. porches, out of 160, okay? Ms. McDonald's testimony was a little bit reckless, quite frankly.
Yeah, but these
could be added on at any time. I mean, although they're there,
correct.
Those homes are there.
And because not to support the Abrinskis' application, but because of maybe the uniqueness of this lot and the size they chose, and they didn't create the lot size the way it is.
But they could have put a house with the season room only with it and still been within the lot, too, though. Right? They could have had a home that small that would have fit.
Yes.
So were they presented with that?
Yes. In the beginning, those were the original conversations.
But they didn't want that. They wanted the house that they wanted, correct?
They chose to take the extensions on the
home right.
based on affordability.
All right. Thank you for that, sir.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Mr. Werpen, you have any other
questions? No, you didn't answer questions.
Any other member have any more questions? Okay, hearing none. Okay, now would you like to come back up, sir? You can sit right back up if
all
you
right,
want.
Thank you
want a rebuttal to that?
I think most of what Ryan Holmes presented was accurate. I think the part that needs to be discussed is the discussion between myself and their sales agent. The sales agent lives in the neighborhood. She lives behind me a couple of houses up. She was already in that neighborhood. She took us to that development to show us something that was similar about a different model. And we saw that there were a couple of lots left and we liked the neighborhood. The model that she and others were working out of is at another location, the model that we built. All right, and it has the morning room on there. And when we were trying to decide on the other options that we would do versus what our budget contained, okay, that's where I looked for direction from the salesperson and said, well, we're not sure we're going to do the screen porch or the morning room. And she said that, well, the morning room is part of the foundation of the house. It's easier to do that now and then add the screened-in porch on later. And I'm under testimony, okay? This is the truth. So that's what, right or wrong, misled us that there was no message, nothing, especially from someone who lives in the neighborhood, but she, in fairness to her, she did not work that development. She was working another one. So, but she has a screened-in porch on the back of her house too. And again, none of this was told to us. And you know, they say buyers beware, I understand, but there's so much information you're going through. But we specifically had this discussion and we were trying to decide. And what we were told was build the morning room one because that's part of the foundation. That's less expensive to do now. You can always add the screen-in porch on later. And I think it's an important difference of what you just heard from the builder.
Let me ask you a question. You had
yes, sir.
If you even if that situation was not understood between you and the seller, okay, that's what your client you misunderstood, or they misled
they did not inform me. That's what. I'm
okay, they didn't inform you. But now you come along, and here I come along. I'm the contractor, and I turn around and I say, well, you know, you got the house, you're going to put this on here, but guess what? You know, if you put this three-season room on there, and when I go to get a permit, I can't do that for you yet unless we get a variance. right?
Right.
That's what you're saying. So you knew that if you approved him building, or he's going to build this for you, that you're going to need a variance?
No, no. I'm not sure where the disconnect is here. And that may be my fault, okay? So please bear with me.
Okay.
I think I understand where your question is coming from. We purchased the house in October of 2014. The house was built over the winter. We moved in April of 2015, okay? It wasn't until the end of 2014 that we started to consider possibly the aspect of adding a screened-in porch. That's when we started talking to contractors about that. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, we were told that, you know, to be able to go out far enough to make it a functional screen porch, we would have to ask for a variance. Okay. And at that point is when we applied for the variance.
And it wasn't built yet, right?
No, sir, no.
Okay, so you knew...
Oh, the home was built.
Yeah, the home was built, but you knew that you were going to need a variance.
Not until we got an estimate from an improvement contractor. And that's what brought us here the first meeting.
So the lady never did tell you, but you can add that on later. She did never say you had to get a variance to add that on later. She never told you anything about it.
Correct. The salesperson for Ryan Homes did not say.
She just said you
could
add it on later.
She said you can always add that on later. And
nothing,
you know,
but a variance.
No mention about a variance, because would have changed our mind, yeah, on what we actually built then.
Yes. I would think so.
Yes. That's why I want you to understand, yeah, the thought process. And, you know, we're moving from out of state. We're not familiar with everything down here. But, you know, the fact is, yeah, they have papers and you sign off on all this stuff. But the discussion already taken place with the sales representative that, you know, as I explained, you could add the morning room on now and do the screened-in porch on later when your budget will support it. With no discussion, no mention, no indication whatsoever that to have a functional room more than 7 feet wide, which I think it'd be, even if you tried to put a little porch on or deck, it would have to be more than 7 feet to be usable, that you'd have to be into a variance situation. Otherwise, that would have changed our thinking and our approach when we bought the home and how we would have had it built.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So, again, I just want to thank everyone for the time and all the questions, so that hopefully you're as informed as possible. You know, bottom line is that we're only asking for what is in many other homes in our neighborhood, the screened-in porches. I realize that in our case, it requires a variance. There's been four other variances requested, and they've all been approved. And we would just like to be able to see the same consideration given to us, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Anybody? Mr. Sharp, any more questions?
No questions. Thank
okay.
You.
Hearing no further. Did you have anything else, Mr. Ben?
I just want to maybe
this
say
be the last. Okay.
Mr. Brinsky said, you know, maybe this was a miscommunication, if anything else, because, in fact, they could build a screen porch.
And a home.
Afterwards, without the consideration, clearly not a size that they wanted, and the size as he maintains is too small to be functional, but that might have been the thinking back there. So we don't disagree with his statement. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay, hearing no other opposition or anything, chair will entertain a motion. Excuse me.
Mr. Chairman, we've heard a lot of testimony, and a lot of questions have been cleared up here tonight for myself, and I hope the board too, my colleagues. In the final analysis of all the testimony that's given tonight, I've come under the conclusion that the practical difficulty has been created by the applicant. That's my vote.
Okay. Mr. Workman, how do you feel?
We gave three other variances there before. I really don't have a problem. I think there was misled in communications, and I don't really think it altered that sense of character of the neighborhood. I'm in favor of it.
Okay. Mr. Hudson? How do you feel?
Well, clearly the morning room was expanded, so, you know, I have difficulty answering the, you know, the question whether the applicant created its own hardship, and after hearing testimony that the morning room was expanded and that the house could have been built with a screen porch, it's truly unfortunate that whether it be a miscommunication or whatever you would like to call it, that kind of thing happened. But it still remains the fact that they could have had a screen porch without the expansion of the morning room.
Right. I agree with that. Okay. Mr. Mills.
I tend to agree with Mr. Hudson and Mr. Workman.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I tend to agree with Mr. Hudson and Mr. Rickards that it could have been done. I feel that it was created by the testimony that I have. So.
You need a motion?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we deny case number 11750. I believe the applicant has created their own practical difficulty, exceptional practical difficulty.
Excuse me, do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickards and a second by Mr. Hudson that we deny case number 11750. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Workman?
Aye.
Okay, Mr. Rickards?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Again, Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Mr. Mills?
Nay.
And Mr. Calloway? Aye. So by a vote of 3, excuse me, to 2, case number 11750 is denied.